While our choir members are returning to their seats, we can begin turning to our passage for this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is not going to come out of the book of James, like your bulletin says. Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from the book of Psalms, and I'm going to be reading Psalm chapter 46. Psalm 46. Yep. All right, so Psalm chapter 46, hear now the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Lord, we come this morning, coming to your word, knowing that this passage was not necessarily what I had planned to preach this week. We come this morning recognizing that our hearts are, for the most part, pretty distracted. It's hard not to keep checking the news. It's hard not to keep reading about where cases may be in our own state. Father, we know that it is easy for us. It is easy for us to look at these things, to look at what's going on in the world around us, and to think and to measure those things against ourselves. And we recognize that there's nothing we can do. And so our hearts begin to fill with fear or worry or even panic. Father, we ask that this morning, that your word would instruct us, that it would comfort us and encourage us. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. All right, so this morning we are taking a break from our series in the book of James. You might be thinking we are already taking a break from our series in the book of James over the last couple of weeks, and that is true. But this morning we are continuing to take a break from the book of James, and so we're actually going to be looking at the 46th chapter of the Psalms. And so just like all of you, I spent this past week following the news, watching to see just kind of how this virus is going to spread in our country. We have watched and we have seen major sports leagues like the NBA and like Major League Baseball close down. We have seen school systems close. We began to see travel restrictions put in place. We began to see churches in some of our larger cities decide to cancel their worship services for the next several weeks or move them online. And all of this has been done really in an effort to slow down the spread of this virus. And so we have even made changes this morning, all right? We have the offering plates up here. We've made some changes. We've made changes to our plans for this week. And kind of as I kind of contemplated all this all week long, the passage in James I was going to preach would have worked okay. But I felt like as things kind of progressed, I was like, you know what? Let's just go straight to the Psalms. So that's what we're doing this morning. We're studying Psalm 46. Psalm 46 was written by a member of a group they call the Sons of Korah. These would have been kind of people who were at the temple, whose job was to sing. The Sons of Korah, and you may even recognize this psalm as the psalm upon which Martin Luther bases him, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. So this is a fairly familiar psalm. It is one of throughout the ages, it has been a favorite for the Christians. And so we're turning there this morning, and this psalm, the reason why it's such a favorite is it celebrates our God as our ultimate security. It celebrates our God as our ultimate comfort in the face of calamity. And so this has been a source of encouragement. It's been a source of comfort for God's people for thousands of years. And this morning, we're going to study this passage together in the hope that we will find encouragement, that we will find comfort for the season that we find ourselves in these words. In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that God created this world and that he called it good. And thankfully, much of that goodness still remains in this world for us to enjoy. But there are moments, there are days when we need psalms like this one. We need psalms like these to help us know how to respond to the calamity that we find in this world. And we need this particular psalm today because we have been reminded over the past few weeks that we live in a world that is prone to calamity. Ever since the entrance of sin into this world has been calamity prone. This is a world prone to tornadoes and hurricanes. We've experienced a lot of those tornadoes in this area. This is a world that is prone to things like blight and locust. This is a world prone to cancer and to disease. And so what we find in this passage are words that tell us that we can be confident, that we can even be calm in the face of incredible calamity because our incredible God is with us. And we need these words so badly because rarely do the words confident and calm describe us as individuals or as a nation when calamity strikes. And if you're looking for proof of that statement, go and try to buy some toilet paper at Walmart after church today. Calm and confident are not words that we usually use to describe people during calamity. You know, as this virus begins to spread, we can watch our nation move from anxiety to worry to fear and to panic. Confidence and calm in the face of calamity, you know, those things aren't our natural response to dangerous situations. And this isn't just a struggle for people who are outside the church. This is a struggle for those of us who call ourselves Christians as well. You know, what do we do with the fear and the anxiety that may be rising in our own hearts? You know, that's the question this morning. Well, since we know that our own hearts struggle to remain quiet in the face of calamity, we need to listen carefully to the words of the psalm today. And so this morning, we're going to walk through this passage together. We're going to take just a few minutes to talk about two reasons why we can trust God, even in the face of the worst calamities. And then we're going to talk just for a little bit about how we can respond to these words today. So the first verse of this psalm begins with these incredibly comforting words. And so I'm going to read this again for us. This is Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. These are incredibly comforting and incredibly timely words for us to hear. And I want to take a moment. We're going to talk just about this first verse. The first thing the psalmist tells us is that God is our refuge. And a refuge is a place where you can go for safety. When we are faced with the dangers of this world, our God is our refuge. He is our stronghold. He is our fortress, as Martin Luther called it. So when danger and calamity surround us, God is a place for us to go for safety. And the psalmist tells us that so God is our refuge. And then the psalmist tells us that God is our strength. When we are faced with the dangers of this world, our God is the strength that we need to face this calamity. Strength is defined as provision for facing a task. That's kind of how they call it. Strength is provision for facing a task. When we measure our own strength against the dangers of this world, then we will always respond with fear. We're just not that big. We're not that strong. There's not a whole lot we can do about things. In Psalm 46, we're told that God is the one with the power to face whatever it is that we are going through. And Psalm 46 tells us that God is our refuge, and it tells us that God is both our refuge, he's our place to go for safety, and that he's our strength, that he is the one with the power for whatever we're facing. And that's wonderful news. That is wonderful news for us this morning. And the news gets even better because not only is God our refuge and our strength, he is also a very present help in trouble. And this is significant. That last little line is significant. You know, if God is capable of being our refuge and strength, but he's unconcerned with our well-being, or if God is capable of being our refuge and strength, but he's just never around when we need him, that would make those first two statements much less comforting. But that's not what the psalm says. He doesn't leave it there. It says that our God is a very present help in trouble. He even adds the word very. He's not just a present help. He's very present. He's always there. God is not distant. God is not too busy for us. God is not unconcerned with us. He is right here with us, ready to help. And I love this psalm. I love this psalm because it starts off with exactly what we need to hear. When we are overcome with worry, or when we're overcome with trouble, even when we're overcome with just weariness as we consider the dangers of this world. And the bad news this morning is that we live in a world where we need a refuge. We live in a world where we need strength. We need it. We live in a world where we need help from our troubles. And so in this one verse this morning so far, we've seen the good news And the good news is that our God is our refuge, our God is our strength, and our God is a very present help in times of trouble. And as this psalm continues, we move from this comforting declaration to the psalmist telling us that in light of these truths that we just read in verse 1, that he tells us that in light of these truths, we can now face calamity with confidence. And I'm going to read verses 2 and 3 again for us. They say this, "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." And when you read these verses, it can be easy to let the poetry of the words distract us from what the poet is saying. Because those are just beautifully written sentences, right? In these verses, we're told that since God is our refuge, and since God is our strength, and since God is a very present help in trouble, we do not have to fear, even if the things that we are most sure of in this whole world fail us. If we were making a list, if I just gave y'all pencil paper, make a list of things you're sure of, if we were making a list of the things in this life that we were most sure of, we usually wouldn't even think to list things like the earth beneath our feet, or mountains staying where they are, or the water staying within their boundaries, or things like gravity, right? It wouldn't even make the list because they're so certain that we don't even think about them anymore. These things seem so reliable to us that they normally wouldn't even make a list of reliable things. So what the psalmist is saying is that even if the earth, the ground beneath your feet, gives out and falls away, and even if the mountains are swallowed up by the sea, we don't have to fear. And this is a picture, if you think about it, this is a picture that reminds us of the flood in the book of Genesis, where the mountains were covered by the waters. With these words, the psalmist is telling us that we are able to have confidence even in the face of a major calamity. And some of you here this morning have experienced these world-shaking types of calamities in your own lives. The loss of a parent, the loss of a family member, the ending of an important relationship, career plans falling through, school shootings, job loss. Sadly, this world is full of calamities. But most of us are thankfully only familiar with the everyday struggles of living in a fallen world. We're familiar with things like flat tires on the way to an important meeting. We're familiar with locking your keys in your car and you can see them right there. And you still have to pay somebody to open the door, even though you can see them right there. We're familiar with those sorts of things. We're familiar with sunburn, even when it's cloudy, for those of us with skin types like mine. We are familiar with frustration with school, or frustration with work, or frustration in our relationships. Most of us are familiar with kind of the everyday suffering that goes on in life in a fallen world. And we haven't experienced calamity. And because of that, when we do, we wonder, how do I know that I'm going to make it through this? How do I know that I'm going to be okay? And so in this passage, the psalmist tells us that even in the face of the destruction of the most sure things you can think of, you do not have to fear, not because those things aren't scary, but because God is our refuge and he's our strength and he's a very present help in trouble. The bad news this morning is that we live in a world where we need a place to flee for safety. We live in a world where we need strength. We live in a world where we need help. The good news this morning is that we have a God who is ready to provide those things and more. And so the psalmist tells us that we can be confident. We can be confident in the face of even the worst calamities. And that is wonderful to hear. But the question is, well, how do we know, right? How do we know that we can be confident? That we can trust that God can and will take care of us when we are faced with calamities, or even just when we're faced with the weariness that comes from life in a fallen world and just the constant troubles that we experience. Those first three verses sound great. They sound wonderful, but how do we know that they're true? And the psalmist continues going on. And I want to give you two reasons from this psalm as to why we can trust God to take care of us as we live in a world that is prone to calamity. And the first reason that the psalmist gives us as to why we can trust God even in the face of calamity is this. God's presence with his people ensures their victory. God's presence with his people ensures their victory. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7 again. I say this. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. When this passage refers to the city of God, this passage is talking about Jerusalem. And we don't know the exact historical situation when this psalm was written. But scholars have kind of narrowed it down to two options. They believe that this psalm may have been written in reference to the battle recorded in 2 Chronicles 20, or it may have been written in response to the battle recorded in 2 Kings 18 and 19. And in both of those accounts, they're very similar. In both of those accounts, Judah is greatly outnumbered by their enemies, and it seems like there is no way for them to win. And there's so many enemies that there's no way for them to win against this number. And in both accounts, when the morning comes, the enemy is dead. In 2 Chronicles, three nations band together to fight against Israel, and in the middle of the night, they turn on each other. And in the morning, their dead are everywhere. In 2 Kings, Assyria has brought an enormous army against Israel. But in the night, the Lord sends out his angel, and it kills 185,000 enemy soldiers. And just in the middle of the night, and the Assyrian army flees. In all likelihood, this psalm was written during a similar time of being attacked by a large force in the history of Israel. And it was written to remind the people of God's past deliverance of their people. And why can the people have confidence in the face of such danger? Because God is in their midst. Jerusalem is safe, not because there aren't armies attacking them. They're safe because God is with them. And likewise, we're not safe because we will never face calamities. We're not safe because we will never have trouble. We're safe because in those times, God is still with us, and he is still God. God keeping us safe doesn't mean that we won't face calamities or trouble. It means that God will be with us during those times. And look at just how powerful God is in this verse. It says, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. You know, it matters that God is with us in our calamities because he is powerful. His voice melts the earth. I'm not a scientist. I'm not sure what the melting point of dirt is. But if you can melt dirt, you've probably accomplished something. That's incredible, right? Yeah, the ground, this dirt ground, that's something that we throw that on fires to put it out, right? The ground is probably the most sure thing we have ever experienced in life. And so when God speaks, the earth melts. The nations can rage all they want. We have God in our midst. That's what the psalmist is saying. And verse 7 uses an important name for God. It uses the name Yahweh. Yahweh, we know, is the covenant name of the Lord. It's the name that God revealed to Moses and to Israel. And all of his promises, all of God's promises to his people are bound up in that name. And so they tell us that Yahweh, their covenant Lord, who has promised to be their God and that they will be his people, that God is with them. And then they call him the Lord of hosts. When you sing A Mighty Fortress is Our God and you sing Lord Sabaoth, right? Lord of hosts, this is where this idea comes from. This is why that word is in that hymn. They call him the Lord of hosts. And that title, Lord of hosts, refers to the heavenly armies of God. In 2 Kings 6, some of you all may remember this from stories as a kid. In 2 Kings 6, the Syrian king surrounds the city of Dothan. He's there to capture Elisha. Elisha has been, through the Spirit of the Lord, he's been predicting the movements of the Syrian armies and allowing Israel to keep defeating them. And so the king of Syria decides he's going to capture Elisha. And so he comes and he surrounds the city that Elisha is in. And all the people, and even Elisha's servant, they're all panicking. And so Elisha prays that God would open up the eyes of his servants. And the servant looks out and he sees armies and armies, not of enemies. He sees armies and armies of angels. And he sees chariots of fire surrounding the Syrian army that has them surrounded. And so that is what this title, Lord of Hosts, recalls. He's their covenant Lord. He is the Lord of Hosts. He has all these armies. He has made a special commitment to these people. And not only is he powerful, but he has an army of his own. And so that is who is with them. That's what the psalmist is saying. This is who is with us. And his presence with them is what ensures the victory for them. And even more, that's the God who is with you. That is the God who is with you as you face the difficulties of life in this fallen world. This is the God who is our refuge and strength. This is the God who is our very present help in trouble. And his presence with us means that we can have confidence in the face of calamity. And so that the first reason that the psalmist gives us as to why we can trust God in the face of calamity is God's presence with his people ensures their victory. And then the second reason that the psalmist gives us as to why we can trust God even in the face of calamity is this. God achieves peace through victory. God achieves peace through victory and not through negotiation. And this is, I think, kind of a neat point in here. I'm going to read verses 8 through 9 again for us. This is verses 8 and 9. They say this: "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire." These verses tell us that God makes wars to cease to the end of the earth by defeating all of the other armies, by defeating his enemies. He doesn't go out begging for peace or looking to appease the nations that are raging. He destroys them. He takes their weapons. He breaks them so they can no longer use them, so they can no longer pursue or pose any sort of threat to God's people. So when the psalmist says in verse 8, "Come behold the works of the Lord," he's telling us to look at who our God is. He's telling us to remember who our God is. He's telling us to take a second to stop looking at the dangers and the calamities that we're facing and to look at our incredible God. And once again, the psalmist is wanting to show us how powerful our God is. This is the God who is with us. That's what he's saying. This is the God who is with us as we face the calamities and the dangers of life in a fallen world. This God is powerful. He's a conqueror. He's not a negotiator. He doesn't have to raise a white flag of truce. We can have confidence in the face of any calamity that we might face in this world because our God achieves peace through victory. And the result of this confidence in our God is the ability to face the dangers of this world with calmness. It's the ability to face the dangers of this world with calmness. Listen to the final two verses of this psalm. These are verses 10 and 11. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Every toddler that you've probably ever met goes through a stage where they want to do everything on their own. But the list of the things that they can successfully do on their own is very short. And so what we have is that is there are times when you will see that after a few tries to do this thing on their own, their tendency is not to ask for help. Their tendency is to begin to cry because they can't do it. They want to do it. They definitely don't want you to help. And as a parent, you will go over to them. You'll say, "Well, what's wrong?" They'll tell you whatever it is, like, "I can't get my shoe on." And so the parent will ask, "Well, what can you do?" instead of crying about it. They might word it differently, but the heart of the message is, "What else could you be doing other than crying about this?" And the kid will say, "I could ask for help," all right? When they've exhausted their resources, they're like, "Okay, I could ask for help." And parents are like, "Yeah, yes, you could have." You know, these kids, their parents, who are fairly competent at putting shoes on, are just a few feet away, right? And they are crying on the floor, weeping because they think, "I guess I'll just never have a shoe on this foot." That's what most of us are like when we face trouble in our own lives. We fling ourselves down, we weep, and we forget that our God is our refuge and our strength, and that he's a very present help in times of trouble. God comes to us in our weeping and says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." You know, not only is he going to help us, God is going to be recognized as the God of all things throughout the entire earth. So we can trust that we're going to make it through this difficult life in this fallen world because our powerful God is with us and because God is a conqueror. And so we can respond to calamity with calm. You know, we can respond to danger by being still, which the NASB translates as "cease striving." Some of y'all's translations may say "cease striving." And I really like that because we need to hear that command to cease striving. Because for most of us, much like the common household three-year-old, we try to do things on our own. And when we face problems and calamities, we measure them against our own strength and against our own abilities. And we forget to factor in our incredibly loving and powerful God who is with us into that equation. And so when we're faced with the calamities of this world, we try to rescue ourselves. And when it doesn't work, we worry and we panic and we get angry and we buy obscene amounts of toilet paper. We cry, we doubt, we accuse. You know, God says in the face of calamity, "Cease striving, cease striving, be still and know that I am God." And so that's the message from the psalmist today. Cease striving, know that I am God. God is with you. And so the question is, well, how can we respond? How do we respond to this passage this morning? And we're going to look at this really briefly. We're going to respond to this passage in three ways. First, we should respond to this passage by reminding ourselves and others that God is every bit as powerful as his word tells us that he is. We want to remind ourselves and others that God is every bit as powerful as His Word tells us that He is. The God who we serve in 2020 is just as powerful as He was when He spoke the world into existence. He is just as powerful as He was when He rescued Daniel and the lion's den. He's just as powerful as He was when He rescued His people from these overwhelmingly large armies. You know, our God, who is our refuge and our strength and our very present help in times of trouble, is still just as powerful and just as sovereign as He has ever been. So the first way that we respond to this passage is by reminding ourselves and others that God is every bit as powerful as His Word tells us that He is. The second way that we respond to this passage is by reminding ourselves and others that our powerful God has not abandoned us in our moment of trouble. We remind ourselves and others that our powerful God has not abandoned us in our moment of trouble. You know, the psalmist is able to face danger with confidence and with a calm heart because he knew that God was in their midst. God had not left them. There's a whole long history in God's Word of Him not abandoning His people. And so he could face danger with confidence. And we can face danger. We can face these things with confidence because we know that God is with us. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, we are reminded of God's promise that He will never leave us or forsake us. And we can still trust that promise today. So that the second way that we can respond is by reminding ourselves, by reminding others, that our powerful God has not abandoned us in our moment of trouble. The third way that we should respond to this passage is by reminding ourselves and others that our God, who is with us, is the victorious King, the victorious conquering King over all things. So the third way is by reminding ourselves and others that our God, who is with us, is the victorious conquering King over all things. You know, in this psalm, God is praised. He is praised as the one who ends all wars. He is praised as the one who ends all wars by conquering His enemies. And as you read the Bible, you see that God does not only conquer the worldly enemies of His people, but in Jesus Christ, God has conquered sin. He's conquered death as well. And so you and I have the promise that even in the face of calamity and that even in the face of danger, nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God that He's expressed to us and shown us in His Son. And I'm going to read one last passage for y'all this morning. This is Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. This is a familiar passage because we live in a world that is prone to calamity. And so we frequently turn here. And so we're coming back here again this morning. Let me read this for us. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Right now, most of us recognize that we do not know. We don't know what the next few weeks are going to look like in our country. We don't know what the next few weeks will look like in our own community. But we do know that our God is powerful. We do know that our God is with us. And we do know that our God is the conquering King over all things. And that there's nothing that can separate us from His love. And so right now, in the face of calamity, you know, it would be easy for us to join in. It would be easy for us to join in the panic that many are feeling, the fear that many are feeling. But Psalm 46 tells us that even in the face of the worst calamities that we can imagine, we do not have to fear, but instead we can meet these moments with the confidence of a heart that has calmed itself in God. So let's pray together. Lord, we come this morning knowing that our hearts are unsettled by just the news that we have been seeing all around the world as it slowly makes its way towards our own state and our own areas, Lord. We know that our hearts have been unsettled, that we have been fearful. We ask, Lord, that this passage this morning will remind us of who You really are, of who You are, of how incredibly powerful You are, the fact that You are with us, that You are not unaware, that You are not unconcerned, that You are not unable to do anything, Lord, we thank you that we can trust that you are in our midst. We can trust that you are victorious. We can trust that that our lives are safe in your hands, that nothing will separate us from your love. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to continue to be wise about our precautions, but not without being fearful. Lord, we ask that you would give us great wisdom in these things. We ask that you continue to protect our congregation, our communities, our families, our country, Lord, and even those around the world. And Father, we ask that you would help us to have calm hearts, confident hearts, not because we know anything, but because we know you. Lord, help us to live in that confidence this week. In your name we pray. Amen.